Rosie the Riveter is nowhere to be found. There are no war bonds. No one is asking us to ration our food or collect scrap metal. But nonetheless, we are a nation at war. That's a painfully obvious fact for anyone in the military or their families. But for other people, it might be all too easy to forget that the U.S. has roughly 160 troops in Iraq, not to mention the thousands in Afghanistan. And for those who've come home from both fronts, it can be tough to realize the war may not be top of mind for many Americans. Two veterans.
160,000.
What did I say?
You said 160.
Let's amend that, because that's an important number. Yes. There are 160,000 troops in Iraq. And this is an issue that for some people is really at the back of their mind. There are two veterans who are trying to change that. Pete Hegseth is a captain in the Army National Guard and the executive director of Veterans for Freedom. He was an infantry platoon leader in Baghdad in 2005 and worked with local Iraqi authorities as a civil military operations officer in 2006. He received a Bronze Star for his actions on front lines in Iraq. He's joined now in our studio by specialist Kate Norley, who spent 16 months as a combat medic in Iraq starting in 2003. Pete and Kate have just wrapped up a four-week bus tour of the United States talking about the war and trying to shore up support for the troops. Thanks, both of you, for coming in. We appreciate it.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
So first off, Pete, explain the intent behind the organization Veterans for Freedom. Why and why you decided to get this tour started?
Sure. Vets for Freedom was started about 2.5 years ago by some soldiers and Marines who came back from the war zone and didn't really feel like their stories were being told sufficiently. They turned on the news and said, this news doesn't represent what I saw when I was there, so I want to start an organization to elevate the voice of the veterans, the men and women who have seen the enemy firsthand, been on the front lines, actually walked the ground. And this tour is an extension of it. The National Heroes Tour was a coast-to-coast bus tour where we were taking highly decorated veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan and first of all, showcasing their service and stories and elevating them as sort of heroes that they should be in our culture today, but also to talk about our commitment to completing those missions and communicate the really dramatic progress that's been made through the new counterinsurgency strategy that General David Petraeus and those 160,000 troops are employing in Iraq. And I think the American people are both hungry for ground truth and also seeking some spokesmen that have credibility, folks that have actually been there and understand the complexities of what's going on a very complex and tenuous battlefield.
We talked about that a little in the intro, but describe that feeling of coming home and realizing, wow, this is not part of an immediate reality for many Americans.
You know, it's difficult to deal with, to process, to come back. And, you know, I came back to New York City. I live here in Manhattan right now. And to walk down the street and realize it's not part of most people's daily thought process, mm-hmm. the fact that we are at war and that we're losing people on a daily basis, it takes some time to adjust. And I think in many ways this tour, not only is it proactive, but it's also a healing process for a lot of guys who can get back together with fellow veterans and go out and spread the word. And, we didn't go to huge media markets. We were going across to sort of regional media markets so that there was interest and there was a desire to hear from vets. And we got great coverage wherever we went. And that's what happens when you've got, Navy Cross recipients, nominees for the Medal of Honor, Silver Star, the guys that caught Saddam Hussein, mm-hmm. a guy that helped catch Saddam Hussein. I mean, just high-profile guys from this conflict who also want to serve at home and talk about, because there are two fronts to any battlefield, one there, but the second is public opinion, and we're very cognizant of that.
Is the group or the tour, was there any connection with the Pentagon?
No, absolutely not. None whatsoever. In fact, we had an active duty Marine that came with us, and we had to clear it through his chain of command for him to come with because he's on active duty. And we're actually very proud of the fact that he was allowed to come because they have to do some serious vetting of any organization that an active duty member would be involved in. And they deemed us, nonpartisan through and through and not with any sort of political agenda. And that's exactly what I think gives us the credibility, is that we're not out here for any candidate.
Kate, how'd you get involved with this? And you were the only lady on the bus, right?
I was the official skirt of the tour.
Which is not necessarily an unknown feeling, being a woman in the military.
No, it's not, but it was nice to have some girl power. I think especially for some of, both the young and the old audiences that we had, whether they were veterans themselves or they were some of the children that we met with. I think that it definitely, it brought a new angle. And we had it was a great, cast of personnel that we had, each of us, whether despite the branch we serve with, obviously our gender or the rank also. We had officers and enlisted, and so we really kind of were able to provide full circle each of our experiences. And it was refreshing to be able to tell stories of success.
you were a combat medic.
Yes.
And saw some really horrific things that happen in war all the time. Mm-hmm. And you have created kind of a memento that symbolizes some of that with your dog tags, I understand.
I do. I was actually hit in the center of my sappy plates while I was providing care to a soldier. And, you know, fortunately, I'm here to tell the story about it. But I had that extracted by an engineer friend of mine in the service, and I wear it on my dog tags.
The bullet?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. It didn't go in my heart, but it's close to my heart. as many bad things as I saw a lot of really positive things. And that was what almost kind of made me the most concerned when I was over there, because I expected to see only negative things. When I truly saw progress gradually being made. And since, you know, all of us have some level of correspondence with those that are still serving there now, whether they be American or any of the Iraqi forces that we worked with, and everybody just feels really positive about it. Unfortunately, they do feel that it's definitely weighing on them, this idea that there is a time frame, that, you know, they're comparing it to other wars. And this war only lasted, you know, 4 years, 5 years. We're coming on the 7 year mark. What does that say? I mean, this is a new type of war. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, the terrorists and the insurgency that we're fighting against, it's not comparable to previous situations.
I think, Pete, we're in Washington, right, for the hearings this week when General Petraeus was testifying before Congress. What was it like to kind of witness that process?
Well, both Kate and I were there along with over 450 Iraq and Afghanistan veterans that we brought to Capitol Hill. And we weren't in the hearings themselves, but we held a big event outside beforehand. Had two dozen senators and congressmen out there, Senator McCain, Lieberman, Graham, Democrat Jim Marshall from Georgia. So truly a bipartisan group of legislators who greeted us and were there to say, hey, thank you for coming out and providing a ground perspective to those members on the Hill. They hear a lot from activist groups on a daily basis that are in their face, and rarely do they hear from a constituent who's actually been there and taken the time to come to Washington, D.C., sit down in a professional manner and make the case. So it was interesting.
How do you decide what to talk about? Because one of the reasons people maybe feel divorced from it is because they aren't hearing some of the harder realities, like your story about having a bullet close to your heart. But at the same time, you want to tell people about the good things. But if you only paint a good picture, you know, in terms of needing money to make sure that you have the kind of equipment you need and things like that, how do you make that balance when you're out there?
It's difficult. I mean, we don't give our folks talking points. We say your talking points are your story. That's what gives you credibility, is that you've been there and you've seen it. So tell your story. But at the same time, you need to go into these offices armed with facts and figures and statistics about the way things are actually happening on the ground today, and also an understanding of what counterinsurgency strategy is, why what we're doing today is so drastically different from what we were doing in 2005 and 2006, the way we're positioning our troops, the way we're interacting with the population. Those are substantive differences that I think most legislators fundamentally don't understand. But as a soldier or a Marine who's been there, you need to communicate why we're now interacting on a more meaningful basis on the street level and creating relationships that bring about intelligence and help us on a battlefield, as Kate said, where the enemy doesn't wear uniforms. You have to be able to find out who's friend and who's foe, and that's not an easy thing to do.
Thank you to both of you. Pete Hegseth is a captain in the Army National Guard, the executive director of Veterans for Freedom, and Kate Norley, specialist who spent 16 months as a combat medic in Iraq. They just wrapped up a more than four-week bus tour of the United States, talking to schools, communities about the war, and telling stories of their firsthand experience. We appreciate you guys coming in. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for coming in.
Coming up on the show, the Webby Award nominations are out, a check-in on some of the video nominated, and making a mixtape on the internet. You can do it. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.